Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Eileen Koff. She is the director of Eileen Koff Ministries. Eileen is spelled E-I-L-E-E-N-K-O-F-F Ministries, and her website is EileenKoffMinistries.com. She's written a book called Organize His Way, and I think the subtitle says it all. What's the subtitle, Eileen, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a blessing to be with you and to be able to share what God's poured into me over all these years into my ministry. The subtitle is A Christ-Centered Approach to Organizing Your Life.
Okay, and why did you feel the need to write this book? And why don't you give us a little bit about your own background in terms of how have you been organized all your life?
I wouldn't so much call it organized my whole life, but as a young child, the greatest amount of joy that I would have in playing was going into my friends' closets and organizing their shoes or their dresses or whatever. Huh. I think their parents loved me.
This whole idea came early on.
Yeah, I would go into people's rooms and spatially, you know, visualize how they could, you know, make their room look better, you know, even as a teenager. And so I would do this for friends and families. And one of the stories that I love to tell is when one of my cousins was opening up a environmentally friendly window store in Houston, Texas, and they were having their grand opening, and about two doors down from there was a new store that was being opened up as well, and it was called the Container Store. And I'm sure you've heard of the Container Store.
Sure.
Anyway, I don't even think they had opened up yet, or they had just opened up. And so as we were walking to my cousin's store to give the meet and greet for the family, my eyes, you know, locked onto the Container Store's, you know, window dressing, and I went, "See you, Mom and Dad, I'll talk to you later." And I think I might have been their first customer. I was only in junior high school at the time, so that was quite some time ago. But I had a real love for all things organized, even as a young child, and I did this all my whole life.
Huh. Okay, now how does Christ fit into all this?
Christ is the center of all things, and Christ fit into this as I started organizing as a business after 1998. I began recognizing that that many of the things that I was trying to transfer, what we call transference of skills, to my clients, some of this was just not working, and then other ones would work. And I was trying to figure out what's the difference? What is it that is really impacting my clients' lives so that they are beginning to understand, or what we would call, you know, transforming their mindset?
Hmm.
And I began to see that when I brought God into the situation, began to reveal His biblical principles and leading an orderly life, that was the big aha moment for my clients, whether they were faith-based or Christian or Jewish or whatever. But as I began to expose these truths into my clients' lives, then they began to transform what they were thinking. So I became, in 2007, the director of devotions and education for a Christian-based group called Faithful Organizers. And my part of my job description was to write a monthly devotion on godly principles and organizing so that they could help their clients and, you know, themselves understand this from God's point of view. So that was in 07 I began writing monthly devotions. I mean, who knew God had so much to say about leading an orderly life?
Yeah.
And so through that, they said, "Well, why don't you write a booklet, Eileen, you know, to help us?" So as I began to put these devotions together, I kept, you know, getting this nudge of, no, this has got to be bigger than just a booklet. All of a sudden, this now became a Bible study. And it wasn't just about Eileen. It wasn't just about organizing, but it was what God had to deeply say to his children about how imperative it was to lead the life that he's called us to lead. And part, and most of that is leading an orderly life with it.
Wow. Well, I'm sure my wife would love me to read this book and then put it all into practice. But let's go through some of the biblical principles.
Okay.
For example, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He also said, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." How about a comment
Absolutely.
About those teachings?
Well, it's like what I call, you know, what you were saying, that where a man's, you know, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. I say like this, that our hearts are like the needle of a compass, and they're always pointing into the direction where our treasures are kept. So in other words, what you treasure on earth is what you're going to be drawn to. And so you're either going to, you know, amass stuff, as our economy says that is a good thing to do, or you're going to begin understanding your treasures in heaven. And one of the things that I always point out in the first class that I teach, this Bible class, is that if we understand what treasures are, an earthly treasure is. I mean, we all have our collections, or we all have the things that, you know, our hearts point to. But where is your heart pointing to in the kingdom of God? And when we can sit there as a discussion group and go, what does that look like? Because if we can't visually see that, then what is it that we're trying to amass in heaven when we get there? What does that look like? Because until we can wrap our heads around it and visually understand what it looks like, then how are we going to, you know, quote unquote, treasure it in our heart? And so we spend a lot of time really verbalizing and getting very, very, very concrete about what those treasures look like on earth and what those treasures look like in heaven, so that we have a better perspective as to where our heart is, where that compass in our heart is pointing towards.
Sure. Okay. How about a comment on Luke 10, where you have the incident with Mary and Martha? Martha is working to do, you know, make the dinner for Jesus who's there.
Yep.
Jesus is teaching and Mary is sitting at his feet. And then Martha's very flummoxed and she says, you know, Lord, teach, you know, have Mary come and help me. And Jesus rebukes Martha, surprisingly.
Exactly.
Tell us about that.
Okay, this goes to the heart of who I am. Thank you so very much, because my whole life, I loved Martha. And when I would sit and listen to sermon after sermon after sermon going, you know, rebuking this wonderful woman, Martha, you know, going, why is Jesus telling her this? So as I began writing this book...
Well, wait. For those not familiar with the story, we should make the point that Jesus said that, you know, Martha, Martha, you're distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the more important thing, which is meaning listening to Jesus' teaching, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay, now go ahead.
So,
for those who are not familiar with it.
Yeah, so as I began writing the work, the Bible study, I come from a Jewish background. And so I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. Why is Mary there to begin with? Now, in Judaic and Orthodoxy, you know that men and women are separated. I mean, women cannot even attend yeshiva. There's so many restrictions, and even the Orthodox bar and bar mitzvah is very, very different. It's not the fanfare for girls as it is for boys. I mean, there's very much a line drawn in this whole concept. So the whole point of even Jesus asking Mary to come and even be part of the group, you have to understand, was breaking Judaic and Hebraic law right then and there. And I looked at that and I went, whoa. I mean, Mary accepting the invitation to come had to be the part, again, going back into treasures. What do you treasure more? Do you treasure learning about what God has to say, or are you so worried about what the world's going to say about you for breaking the law and doing what Jesus has called you to do? Hmm. So in a nanosecond, Mary had to change her opinion, going, I don't care what people say about me. I'm going to go and listen to my master speak. And Martha's only doing what Martha's supposed to do. Hmm. She's not supposed to be there. But yet, by Mary being with Jesus, it's putting more of a burden on Martha. But Martha's not really concerned about the burden. Understand that. What Martha's concerned is about change. And change is very difficult no matter what the change is. She's seeing that Mary is breaking law. She's seeing that Jesus is doing something that has been radically new. It's never happened, at least not in her kitchen. Hmm. And so,
plus there's the unfairness of it too. I mean, Martha feels like, hey, here I am working real hard and Mary is just sitting around.
Well, no, I don't think that's
oh, really?
The point at all.
Okay.
I think that, you know, if Jesus asked Mary and Mary said yes, he might have also asked Martha. And Martha sit there and go, wait a minute. We don't do this. I'm not comfortable being around the boys. This is not part of my social, upbringing. She's only doing what she's been taught since she's been, you know, a baby.
Sure. Okay, and that makes sense. All right. So, and you talk about basically keeping a Mary heart in a Martha world.
Right. Right. It's like understanding what the real importance of other priorities are in one's life. Because with Mary going and listening to Jesus' teaching, now she's learning from first person. It's sort of like, you know, you listening to somebody's podcast, somebody said this about this person or about this person, and you're not really hearing it from, you know, the speaker's mouth, so to speak. So you're only saying this, you know, third person removed. And so that's different than listening to someone speak something important first person. And that's what Mary had the opportunity to do here. So when she goes back to her sphere of influence, to all the women at the well, she's not saying, well, let me tell you what, you know, my husband said about what was being taught. She's saying, no, I heard this from the Master.
Hmm.
I heard this from the Messiah. This is what he had to say. And that's going to impact her sphere of influence far greater than anything that she's ever had in contact with before.
Good point.
So this goes into so many areas that, you know, that's why I wrote this chapter, was it's a radical new view of Martha, because I think that we need to look at the story under biblical context,
mm-hmm.
not what we've been taught all the time in sermon after sermon. And that's how I began looking at the Bible, was take these preconceived notions away. And let me look at it through your view, God, your view. What does organize his way mean? Not what does organize Eileen's way mean, or, you know, all the other books that sit on people's shelves mean, but what does God have to say about leading an orderly life? And not only that, but all the other stories in the Bible, can we begin looking at them maybe from a new context or viewpoint and have them come alive to us once again when we realize things that we didn't know what we didn't know? It's not our fault. It's just that we've been taught this, you know, from day one. And unless we begin seeing things from a different perspective, you know, we just keep going on and going, well, that's what this means. Well, no, as you can see, that's not what this meant at all.
Right, right. All right, well, we're basically out of time. Let me just rattle off, though, just some of the titles of the chapters. A Simple Life Brings Abundance, Giving God's Way or the World's Way, An Idol Called Clutter, Taking the Land Using the Joshua Approach, research, like paper, like Mama, how to organize.
Manna, yeah.
Oh, Manna, I'm sorry.
Yes.
How to organize anything, what's in your closet, organizing with a sword and pressing toward the goal. Thank you so much, Eileen Koff, for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Sure. We're basically out of time. Let me give you the name of the book again is Organize His Way, and the name of the website is Eileen Koff, K-O-F-F, Ministries.com. Thank you, Eileen. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.